Today's Tu B'Shvat, so I figured we would take a special, do a special rendition of Parah Torah, even though it's not someone's particular. I mean, there are some people who's Yortzeit this today, but no one really had anything to say on Tu B'Shvat, so I figured we'd use this time together to learn a little about Tu B'Shvat. So, the Shem Yishmuel, the Sachat Shavar, it's very interesting. He comes from a family where we're known for being great Talmudists, Halachis, but at the same time, they're Chassidim. His father was the son-in-law of the Kutzker. So he starts with a question, which maybe, you know, we all appreciate this morning. Davening was a little shorter. There was no tachanon. So the question is, why? Why is there no tachanon on Tu B'Shvat? You think about it, you say, oh, well, you know, there's a Mishnah. It says there's four Rosh Hashanahs. Okay, but it's not like in a couple of months we're going to say no tachanon on the Rosh Hashanah for when we start giving maestros for the cows.
Maybe we should.
It also seems like we have a low bar for not saying tachanon.
Yeah, especially with Chassidah, she have a very low bar. It's like who's oh, someone's yours. I don't think they ever say Tachanun. Well, I'm saying unless you're, if you're anti-Zionist, then the only time you say Tachanun probably in your Chassidish, the only time you say Tachanun is probably Yom Ha'atzmaut. But for the Heyer, but the rest of the year, you're right, very low bar. But I'm saying in normative halachic communities, I would say the bar is very low. It's I would say it's more, you know, chess level. We'll say and. So it bears wondering, like, why is it that on Tu B'Shvat, what is so special, what's significant about Tu B'Shvat, all of these four? Because we know, the other important Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah we have every year, of Aleph Tishrei. So that one we understand. But this one, of the other three, has special significance, special placing in the question. That's really how he opens up his piece here, and his piece on Tu B'Shvat. And also, you think, okay, so if you look in the Gemara, because that's the place to start. So it's like, oh, what happens? So it's the beginning of when the sap in the trees begin to rise. Obviously the sap in Israel, because that's the focus, even in the diaspora of our communal life. And you see that a certain stage in the development of the fruit, like the budding, the very, like I say, the pre-budding, what's called the chanata, begins then. Okay, but like, none of us are farmers. I don't have any fruit trees. You have a fruit tree?
Yeah.
We're at home or here?
At home.
So, that's awesome. But like, most of us aren't farmers, but you're not a farmer though, right? So the fact that this whole process begins now, Eretz Yisrael, it's nice to be connected to Eretz Yisrael always, every day, it's what we daven about, but like, why should that, what does that have to do with Tachanun? That's what he asks. He says, okay, fine, so Chanasa, so Ma'in Shul Yomer Tachanun, why would you not say Tachanun? He says, there's no Kiddusha, there's no Mitzvah, there's not even a Nes. Like one thing we say, a lot of times we say, the reason we don't say Tachanun is because some sort of like, you know, miracle or big event happened for the Jewish community. And yet, when you look at the checklist for Tu B'Shvat, it doesn't meet any of those criteria. So he says, in fact, if you look at another example of the 15th of the month, like Tu B'Av, so that at least, look in the Gemara, it talks about all these like really special things that happen at that point, so we can understand why you wouldn't say Tachanun. But what does it have to do with us? We're not farmers. It seems like it's a purely agricultural moment, so why are we not saying Tachanun? Why is it impact? Why is there some sort of simcha, right? Because that's the whole point. The reason why we don't say Tachanun is because there's some sort of simcha we're supposed to be experiencing, and that's why we don't say Tachanun. So he begins by quoting us a pasuk, which we read actually every fast day. The Taf Torah says, Kashiyarat ha-geshem ha-shelag min ha-shamayim, v'shama lo yashuv, kimhirvas aretz v'hlidav hitzmicha. Is that the Nabi Yeshaya is talking about the way of the Dvar Hashem, of when God speaks to us, and the way that the metaphor he uses is rain. Because if you flip over the page, the Nabi compares the word of God to rain. So now, Yeshayahu. So the question is, what is that comparison about?
Isn't that Masechta Tanis? Like the first parak talks about Yiras Geshamim,
right?
Geshamim, and how that's. There's a mashal to the voice of
God. Oh, of course. It's a perfect time to mention there. I know that I'm forgetting his name right now, but Rav Weisberg. Those who either had a right, has his name? Rav Weiss.
He's
probably a right after your time. But he's very big on like reading like that Gemara and Tanis with like a Hasidic lens and definitely like fleshing out that sort of mashal over there. But so what's the Shmuel Shmuel does this as well. He says, Venira. The Inyan Ha'ilan Hu Hamechaber's Pri Ha'aretz V'Hu Mimemutza Bein Ha'aretz L'Pri. He says that the notion, because again, the Dvar Hashem is not just to rain, but also to vegetation. So you know, what is the what is the connection between a tree and us? So he says that a tree is the connection point between the ground, the earth, and the fruit that's going to produce. It is the means to the end, it's the mechanism through which you have the production of fruit. And he said, to sort of sum this up, he calls it Yeshbo Koach HaMechaber. Is that a tree has the ability to connect things. It's connecting, right? If you think about it, the roots that go into the ground, they draw up the nutrients, it pulls it up through the tree, and from there it comes and they create fruit. This is something that's produced. He says, beautiful idea. Venir Shirem is Yeshbi Gematria. Now everyone says, oh, Gematria, it's ridiculous. But according to there are many Gematrios which are really reflect very deep ideas in the Torah. So he says, Elon, right? The word Elon, which is tree, is Gematria Tzadi Aleph, 91. Which is also the Gematria of the two Shemos of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Adonai. So I'm thinking, okay, that's interesting, random, but what's the point of that?
Wait, Yud Kei Vav Kei or Adonai?
No, together.
Together.
Because Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26.
That's a little stretch.
Adonai is about... Huh?
It's a little bit of a stretch right there. Whatever.
Why? Mm-hmm. So you're saying it's a stretch with this, but here's his point. Because Yishem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, we typically we connect with God's proper name. God is God and up in the heavens, the spiritual aspects of our lives. And Adonai, which means Shem Adnos, of control, is a name we use when we're talking about God as he manifests himself in this world. He is Asher Shemayim V'aretz Miyachzim Aleihem. That the word Shemayim is connected to Shem Hashem. The name Aretz is connected to Adonai. And therefore, an Ilan, when we say it's the gematria of both, an Ilan is the connector of Shemayim V'aretz. So what that means for us is min ha-mahuto shel Ilan begashmius nilmud ruchios enoso. So the fact that we saw what the function of a tree is in the physical realm, it can reflect back and teach us something about an Elon in the spiritual realm. Because we know that a person, we as human beings, are compared to a tree. The Torah says, Ki Adam eats hasada. Man, or human beings, are a tree in a field. Ki tsurasa Adam hu l'chaber halyonim v'atachtonim. Because the purpose of man, writ large, meaning human beings, is to connect heaven and earth. That's what it means. That's the function of a tree. That's why we're compared to a tree. Vasher yishbo neshama mehalyonim, v'guf nosei neshama metachtonim. We are made of two parts, two components. We have our heavenly soul and our earthly body. And as opposed to in some religious traditions where we're supposed to negate the body and focus only on the soul, the goal of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism, is connection. Is to integrate and connect heaven and earth. They talk about it's always the beautiful image from the ladder. What does it say? You have the ladder which is rooted in the earth, v'rosho magia shemaima. Right? That the top of the ladder heads to the heavens. And that's really in many of the Midrashim say that the ladder isn't the, like we always say, oh, malachim yordim bo, who's bo? So it means it, right? The ladder. But many in the Midrashim explain, no, bo means yako, meaning that us as human beings are that ladder, that we are rooted in this world, but we're also connected to the highest heavens. And when the point of our lives as Jews is connecting those two realms. And here I have the area I have bracketed off. He talks about it also where you see allusions of the notion of peros are connected to mitzvos, that notion of by egla rufa, that we say he didn't produce anything, because why we say by egla rufa, the part of it is that you break the neck of this calf, and an area which has never been sown and will never be sown. And always people ask, like, I don't understand, what's the metaphor? What's the message of why by the egla rufa you have to do all these things? So the answer is because just like this person was sort of chopped down in the prime of their life and will no longer produce anything, so too we connect that to this field in a very, you know, tight metaphorical way, that this field will also never produce anything, to highlight this message of the tragedy of this loss of life, this loss of potential. So too when it comes to, again, so to really to flesh out the metaphor, that just like a tree connects the ground and really the heavens, so too we, as our own trees in this life, are connecting heaven and earth, and the whole goal of our life is producing peros, or producing in the mitzvahs the connections to this world, to the God, to other people that we have. So now you skip down to the end of the bracket where it says Vihine. So now we're going to get, now he's going to have to pull it in. What does it have to do with this time of year? So first of all, we have why we're like trees, and why trees are important, and why it's important for us. But why is it this particular day? So he says, Vihine kimo gishamim hamatzmichim esaperos. He says, just like in the physical world, it's rainwater, it's the rain, it's water that creates the peiros, that causes them to grow. So for us, kin ha'aras ha'lukis, shinitanas b'lev anashim, hi ha'mu'aras es ha'adam shi'asa peiroso. So for us, so also we have Geshem, we also have rain, but it's a spiritual rain. It's the Shefa, it's the influence, it's the inspiration from God that rains down metaphorically to us on a daily, monthly, yearly basis that inspires us and really motivates us to make our lives worthwhile, to make the fruit of our lives. Right, you always talk about, like, if we see these metaphors are even in the English language. Right, you see, bring the process to fruition. But this idea of this process of growth really has penetrated every language. I'm sure there are many other languages that have similar metaphors as well. And therefore, that's what he says. Zehu shadima dvar Hashem yedeh Hanavi nami Geshem v'shel. That is why the prophet compares the word of Hashem to Geshem and Shelag, these things which are water-based and create life. Because so too, just like water rains upon the earth to create vegetation, to create produce, so too the Dvar Hashem, God's word, rains upon us to inspire us, to motivate us to grow. So he then, if you skip over, I have another bracket. It's a longer piece, so we don't have all the time to do it, but just we're getting the major gist of it. So you skip over the next column, where the end of the bracket is. So he says, he's talking about the whole year. He says, so too, and it comes again to this idea, the spiritual influence, the spiritual sustenance and nourishment that we have from God, that's compared to, analogized to rain. He is the Barosh Hashanah, posting the Kol Yish Kama Haras Lukis Tinasim Bo. Right, we daven, we spend the whole Elul, we're trying to do introspection and repent, and then comes Rosh Hashanah, and it's the beginning of the year. And it sort of sets the tone for what our year is going to look like. And we determine, we figure out what exactly, how much inspiration from God is going to rain down upon us. So even though it's true, Shaykh Nami Yim Chazer Bo Lahosif Olafachos, Iyafshar, El Yizacha Nitanas Lo Haras Bezman Shetzrichos Lo Beis Torah, Tfilo, Beis Shehu Nitzrich, Shmir Shalo Yipol Chumrius, O Lehefach Chas Hashom Hu Lehefach She Nitanas Bo Bemakum She'en Tzrichos Lo Beis Bilbo V'tir Dadash Shulechos Yipol. He says that at that moment, it's sort of decided. As in, where are the moments in my life when I'm going to need a pick-me-up, when I'm going to need the inspiration, the motivation from God to rain down upon me? You know, this is a similar idea you see in the Kedushas Levi, which is that we always have Shefa from God coming down to us. God doesn't have anything but Shefa, because God is purely good. But the point is, it's all about taking advantage of the moment. When is the time that happens? You know, sometimes if you feel it's the right time, but it's the wrong place, it's the wrong time. It could be the wrong time in the right place, or the right person, it's the wrong time. So it's all about the moment. It's about, you know, there's a whole thing of this now. There's a whole, I think Daniel Pink, those who might know him, he's a big author, writes a lot of these popular psychology books. So he talks about the science of now, the science of when. There we go, science of when. Like using psychology, what is the perfect thing to do certain things, like when's the best time to have a meeting, when's the best time to be productive, when's the best time to get married. That's all these studies. And we know, based on our own experience, that it's not so much of like who's doing what, it's about when you do it. Because sometimes, certain times are more opportune, And more apropos than others. And so, therefore, and Rosh Hashanah is a term of those moments of, when am I getting inspiration? So for some of us, if we're Zoche, we're going to get when we need it. It's going to take us, and it's going to propel us further. And sometimes, we're going to get inspiration where we're not physically capable of building upon that. And guess what happens to that inspiration, that motivation?
It goes to waste.
So he continues and he says, V'hinei kimo ha'gishamim ha'gashmiim mizgalos pulasim b'ilonos achar shosh Hashanah. So here's where he connects it back to Tu B'Shvat. Because we know, at least from the Jewish tradition, from the Jewish calendar perspective, so it's already, after the third of the year, 3 months into the year, is when you already see the beginning of the effects on the vegetation, the trees. This is when we say, and this is actually true, you can see if you go to Israel, the sap is actually beginning to rise in Israel amongst the trees. So you see, v'nimsu ha'peros chon netimiyata, and the peros, the fruits, begin to bud in a certain sense. So kinami Rosh Hashanah v'yelchot tzadikim shenichtim v'nichtam la'achar l'chaim. So too, when it comes to, on a spiritual level, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so those tzadikim who merited being written in the Book of Life immediately, Om Yom Kippur, Yom Rishon Shal Sukkos, v'chule. So he says, nichnasos ba'adam yom achar yom ha'ar elokis v'soros. He says, it's an interesting new way to look at our progress from Rosh Hashanah. Is that what we're doing now is that we lay the roots, the foundation, right? All that davening we do, all the introspection we do between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot is the seeds. And slowly but surely, we're supposed to be building day after day, hour after hour, of sort of capitalizing those experiences. And so finally what happens this time of year, just like a tree, it begins to bud a little bit. And what really what he goes on to show from here is why Tu B'Shvat is so important. Again, based on this comparison between us and trees, is that the work that we did on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, begins to finally bud now. We start beginning to see the impact of what I did at the beginning of the year. You know, and also what's good about that, you know, sometimes in some jobs, they have yearly performance reviews. You imagine how scared, I don't know about you, but I would be if I had a yearly performance review. So what does that mean? It means my entire year is based on one meeting, one review. And if I'm not meeting my standard, then obviously I'm going to get it demoted, or I'm going to get potentially fired. But here, what's beautiful about this moment in Judaism is that we have quarterly reviews. That every couple of months, we have a moment in time where it's like, am I reaching my fulfillment? Have my fruits, right, begun to produce themselves? Have I grown to the next level that I set for myself in my Jewish journey, or have I not? So it's actually a moment now, really a moment of looking at, have I begun to have my fruits express themselves? Have they been produced? And so that's the comparison between the trees of Tu B'Shvat and us ourselves. You flip over the last page, so he just says, because we open with our question, which is that you need some sort of simcha. A simcha is what is going to enable us not to see tachanun. That's our opening question was, I don't understand, it's Tu B'Shvat, it's one of the four Rosh Hashanahs. Okay, that's very nice, but none of the other two do we say not see tachanun. Why is it so special that here, specifically on Tu B'Shvat, we're not going to see tachanun. So he says, at the bottom paragraph, the Fia Amor, basically on what he said until now, Yuvan Hetev Inyan Tu B'Shvat, Shein Omer Tachanun. He says, now we can understand and appreciate why this day of any other day of the other four of the other three Rosh Hashanahs, we won't say tachanun. Shehu be'emes zman simcha Yisrael is actually a time of tremendous joy and celebration for the Jewish people. Harotzin lavos Hashem bebechinas lev, v'lo bekriros ruach u'mitzvas anoshim milamoda. He said because it's really a time of introspection, and if we've positively capitalized on those experiences, and we're already seeing in our own life, in our own way, in our own personal journey, how that fruit is coming to grow. And that's like, wow, it's a sense of accomplishment. Wow, it's amazing that I've already, just a couple of months ago, was Rosh Hashanah, now I feel so further inspired. I'm growing. And if we haven't, it's also an opportunity. Saying, okay, I haven't until now. My fruit is not, it's taking a little bit longer than I expected for it to come to fruition. But it's an opportunity. It's another opportunity to do introspection and to create the next quarter, and to come back in a couple months from now, we have really less. We have a month and a half a month till Purim, and we have a month till Pesach. And each of those moments is an opportunity. It's our little. It's not even a quarterly review. It's a monthly review of thinking about what can I do next to help my fruit go to fruition. So this is a new, different insight. Hopefully, a good reflection on Tu B'Shvat to explain A, why we don't say Tachanun, because it is the day of Simcha, because we're rejoicing to see, we begin to see the fruits of our labor, you know, coming to fruition. Got all those fruit, you know, fruits of labor coming to fruition. But also, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to capitalize, and that's why many of the Kufin B'nai Sachar, that many of the custom to daven on Tu B'Shvat for having a beautiful kosher esrog. So it sounds a bit weird. It's always a good time to daven, but why dafka an esrog? So what's the esrog supposed to be?
It's just a fruit.
The fruits
so
of the labor is contained
in that. Yeah, that's 100% true. But we also know that the dalad minim correspond, they say, to four different types of Jews, but also to four different parts of our body. Like the lulav is supposed to be the spine, the hadasim, are the eyes, the rovos of the mouth, and the esrog is a lave. And the whole idea is that what we're davening is we want to have a good heart. We want to have a beautiful heart. We want to have a heart that always feels connected, inspired to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so that's the time today. Spend a moment, whether it's later in your day when you're walking to class or during mincha today, to think about it, to daven and say, I really, that's what I want. I want a beautiful esrog. Obviously, I mean the esrog in a certain like sense, that this yellow citron fruit, but no, it's more than that. It's the lave, the esrog in our hearts, that it should be beautiful and should be connected and always inspired.